السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم جميعا أيها المستمعين والمستمعات. Beloved listeners of Radio Islam International, welcome back to Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shakira Hunter, Alhamdulillah. On this beautiful Thursday afternoon, Alhamdulillah, Summa Alhamdulillah. We are entering the last 10 days of Ramadan al-Kareem. And subhanAllah, it's with a heavy heart, subhanAllah, that we come to these last few days of Ramadan. But we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the time to develop our iman, to build our connection to Him, subhanAllah. And subhanAllah, you know, this beautiful ilm and knowledge that we picked up and we learned on the way, alhamdulillah. Here in Hayatun Tayyiba, we are always focused on developing our skills and developing our imani tools. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, today we are going to be speaking about something that I think is so important, firstly, but also something that, as I've been looking, as I've been meeting a lot of people out there, something that made me want to, you know, shout out and take my hat off to women who are single parenting, subhanAllah. It is something, I haven't met many men who are doing it, but subhanAllah, on my side, meeting women, it is something so admirable, something so difficult. And we are going to be looking at this from both aspects, whether it is from the aspect of a single parent who is divorced or a single parent who is parenting on their own due to the loss of a loved one through a mayyat or through, subhanAllah, funeral or accident, etc., subhanAllah. So our focus today is looking at single parenting and trying to understand how do we develop our total understanding of this concept, but at the same time, subhanAllah, to know that parenting is such a tough job, you know, but single parenting is an even tougher challenge as one parent tries to fulfill the roles of both a mother and a father to their child. Single parenting is highly demanding physically and emotionally and financially. There can be so many different reasons, right, and circumstances why people have to go through single parenting. It may be because of divorce, maybe a spouse is working abroad, maybe a child is, you know, they're going through this death of a parent or the illness of a parent, subhanAllah. So what happens is there are many reasons that parents can go through single parenting. But sadly, the Muslim community often alienates and ostracizes single parents. And we're often very selective, right? We look at which single parent deserves compassion based on the reason that they are single. So subhanAllah, if we find that, you know, if a person is going through, if we find that if we are going through, for example, somebody who is, you know, their husband passed away, or if they've gone through any, then we have a lot of, you know, compassion for them. But on the other hand, when a person goes through divorce, maybe, then we have this judgmental attitude. But this doesn't help single parents be the best parents possible to their children. Compassion and support from the community is necessary to help single parents on this very, very challenging journey. So, alhamdulillah, we are going to be speaking to some beautiful women, inshallah, and they are going to be assisting us to gain understanding and, inshallah, for us to learn how to work around our understanding of single parenting and how to support them as well, inshallah. And if you are going through it as well, inshallah, may this program be a solace for you, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Okay, we have online with us, subhanAllah, Sister Mishara Sunday, alhamdulillah. And I'm really, you know, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she has agreed to come and join us today. And her bio is such a beautiful one. First and foremost, alhamdulillah, she has three children. Fatima Zahra is 11, Isa is 5, and Rayyan is 10 months old. And subhanAllah, Mishra is a mom of three incredible kids. And she says that, you know, that is her most important role in the dunya. She's a contract manager at a leading IT integrator and managed service provider. And she's a photographer and a budding journalist. She's very compassionate and loves serving. Thus, my role in giving back via the Shoot for Purpose platform, where we aim to empower women who have experienced trauma, loss, or gender-based violence. Alhamdulillah, sister says she aims to be an example to her children and live a life that is simple yet beautiful. She does not want to fit into a mold or conform to what society assumes that she should be, as opposed to what is right for my children and I, subhanAllah. Sister Misha, Jazakumullah Khair for joining us. Please let me know if I mentioned I'm pronouncing your name correctly, first and foremost. But Jazakumullah Khair for joining us on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Mishra Sunday, so yes, all good.
Lovely, mashallah, mashallah. You know, reading your story, subhanAllah, has been so, so incredibly humbling for myself. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you strength. I love that when I read your story, I feel strength. I feel I can feel the way you are, you know, taking back your the control of your life, subhanAllah, after going through something so difficult. And firstly, before we even go into the interview, I wanted to ask you, do you still feel like you are going through widowhood, or do you feel like this point, like, you know, I've just lost my close beloved one, or do you feel like I'm a survivor and I'm moving on now?
To tell you the truth, you know, each stage is so different. Mm-hmm. There are definitely times where each one comes into play. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think I'm in the mode of I've survived this. You know, alhamdulillah, I can see my kids are so much happier, that they are mm-hmm. healthier, that they are taking on life and all that it's meant to be for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of it stems from how I've reacted and how my support system has been towards me and things that have happened since Adam's passing. Mm-hmm. Definitely society plays a very big role in how people view widows and how they try to put them into this mold of what it is that you're supposed mm-hmm. to do. So widows are not supposed to be doing a lot of things. You're not supposed to be going out there and trying to build a life better for your kids, for yourself, laughing, smiling. You know, I've been told so many times, you actually shouldn't be laughing. You should be sad. You know, you just lost your husband. No matter how much time passes, you know, that will always be that I've just lost my husband. So I've noticed that losing a spouse has become a very defining thing in one's life.
And that is why I asked the question, because subhanAllah, you know, you are trying everything you can. Your memories cloud you. Your memories, you know, you want to hold on to your husband. But then there's practical everyday life, you know, and then people will say to you, you have to stay in this box and you have to do it correctly according to what people say. But, you know, subhanAllah, when we look at the deen of Islam, there's numerous examples that of single parents who successfully raised children to become strong individuals. You know, these individuals have left legacies for humanity, and it shines so brightly because of the fact that there was a specific attachment to a single parent, right? So one example is Hajar, the mother of Ismail alayhi salam, Maryam, the prophet of Isa alayhi salam, Amina, the prophet of the mother of the prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, all raised their sons alone due to different circumstances. They put their trust in Allah, worked hard to be the best parents they could be to their children. Also, if you look further, the mothers of Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ahmad, and Imam Bukhari all raised their children alone, and all of them became figures, subhanAllah, renowned figures that left a major impact on the world. So in our deen, there is no such thing as this is a foreign concept for us, right? This is something that we as Muslims have to understand. It's a massive, massive part of our deen, and it we need to build support structures to assist our women who are going through this. So subhanAllah, sister, you know, what tips can you give, first of all, for ladies who are going through the iddah now? How did you balance your emotion as well as trying to be strong for them at the same time, for your children?
So losing Adam and losing my loved one, you know, in the heart of a pandemic, when everybody was afraid to attend gatherings or even being close proximity to anybody, in general, it's very hard to comprehend. But for me, the physical distance created by COVID caused a lot of anxiety and fear. Mm-hmm. It was a sense of loss that was even greater. And I it took a very long time for me to process what had happened and to find closure with it. I was also 17 weeks pregnant, so my iddah period was a total of 21 weeks, which was 5.5 months. I was physically very sick during my pregnancy, and it was definitely one of the hardest journeys yet. It was an exceptionally trying time for me. So I had two older children that needed me for everything. My daughter Fatima Zahra was 10 years old, and my son Isa was only 4. They were both still in school, madrasa, both needed to get to different places. I had them at counseling. You know, I was still working. I needed to get to the shops, banks, sort out all, you know, legal documents pertaining to Adam's passing. So it meant that I needed to be out and about. I had to drive. I had to be out during the day. You know, if the kids got sick, I needed to be out at night. And the reality was that a lot of people were very strict and enforced society beliefs upon me, and it was frowned upon when I needed to be out. And, you know, they would say things like, you know, for your Iddah, you know, you had to carry it in a certain way. I personally don't for 1 minute believe that your Iddah period should be considered as a punishment from Allah. It's in fact a time to heal, mourn, and reflect. And life doesn't just stop, and it didn't most certainly stop for me. I just got busier trying to, you know, single-handedly juggle my little humans, work, home, pregnancy. And so at the time, balancing my emotions and just everyday life meant just surviving the day and making it through. Mm-hmm. And it most certainly was a process, and not one that I figured out immediately or that anybody could force me to understand until I was ready to actually receive that message. So my greatest piece of advice would be to take it a day at a time. If you can't manage a day, then take an hour. And if not an hour, then a half an hour, or just 10 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you won't make a move anywhere if you don't make a start somewhere. So right. I also have to mention, though, that one of the most important things for me at the time of losing Adam was my incredible support system. You know, with mm-hmm. other people within my circle, I think I would have lost a very big mm-hmm. part of myself and been lost in a very big, scary world. And I wasn't going to curl up into a ball and feel sorry for myself. And they wouldn't allow me to do that either. So for that, I would be eternally grateful for.
SubhanAllah, you know, that's such a good example for us as a community, because a lot of times we don't understand that it's not the actual, the support is not the food, and it's not, you know, that it's not at that moment of loss. It's more long term. And I love that you say, you know, you have the support system, and I think you are referencing your siblings, right? And SubhanAllah, yes. they were there for you, they stood there for you, and they didn't allow you to lose that hope, SubhanAllah. And that's it. The test of the death itself and the test of going through this immense, immense loss is to, yes, to break us, but also to make us stronger, SubhanAllah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the strength that you have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you use it to benefit the Muslim ummah and to look after your kids, inshallah. And may they all be a witness for you on the day of Qiyamah. Your story is so beautiful, sister. So now when we look at single parenting, the word single parenting itself, right? I just think when I look at parents in my own life as well, parenting is absolutely difficult. So the transition, obviously, from having somebody that you rely on and suddenly you have to do it all yourself. What did you discover about yourself during this time?
Wow, that's a crazy question. So I think first what we have to realize is that no one asked to be a single mother. It's never something that you're going to start out and saying, you know. So for me, it's definitely a 24-hour, 365-day job. And there's no start and no end to it. It's challenging, the sense of loneliness and depression that you feel, you know, when you can't share your thoughts or your fears with somebody. And that lack of financial and physical, you know, mental, emotional support is insane. So single mothers, at least I know I did, I carried a lot of guilt. Guilt for having to work. Guilt for putting them into school and not being able to look after them at home. Then guilt for not being able to give them what they wanted when they asked for it. Guilt for being tired, for being dependent on other people for certain things, like when I needed to drop my kids at my brother or my sister's or my friend or a neighbor, just so I could get to a hospital appointment or to the grocery shop. You know, there was just guilt for so many reasons that were within my control and even that wasn't within my control. So, you know, in Islam, society assumes that your family automatically, you know, take on the responsibility of looking after you and helping you out whenever you need it. But this isn't always the case. You know, in the world that we live in and in today's time, everyone has their own life and finances play such a massive role in this. So what it taught me was that I had to learn to depend on myself and trust that Allah was always going to be there. I needed to be my own hero instead of waiting for one to arrive. So I needed to be the hero for my kids and to create an environment for them where they felt safe and loved and protected by me first. So my mantra became, you know, kids learn by what they see and not what you tell them to do. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted them to be great, I needed to be. And if I wanted them to achieve, then I needed to show them exactly how to do that. You know, that was just always how I was going to live it. I was always going to be an example for them.
Allah always give you strength, inshallah. So, SubhanAllah, so in a time of loss, you know, something always happens is immediately there's always family around, there's people around. And obviously, you know, going through it in Corona, it must have been a little bit different. But the second, you know, adjustment where the children feel is when that initial stage of people, you know, grieving is now over and people want you to return to normal lives and people return to their normal lives. How do your children actually adjust to this, you know? Where it's between, because I've seen over the years that sometimes what happens is now some children learn to take advantage of those situations, or sometimes they become so emotionally dependent on people that it becomes very difficult for them to get back into normal routine. So how was the transition for your children?
Well, what COVID did was compound the reality of our loss of losing Adam. Both of my children, but more so my son, was greatly affected by this. Issa went through a very tough period where, you know, he would have panic attacks if I wasn't within his sight. He would bang on the doors that I was behind, or be at the bathroom or the bedroom door. And, you know, because I was pregnant, I had to prepare him for weeks in advance regarding the birth. So I had to physically drive past the hospital that I was due to give birth at, park outside, show him that people would go into the hospital, they would come back out again, because he was convinced that if people went into a hospital like Adam did, that they wouldn't come back out again. You know, and it broke my heart every time that I saw that panic set in on his face. Mm-hmm. So my advice to people would be to dig deep, you know, listen to your kids and what they say and what they don't, because you will find that all the emotions are jumbled up in the actions that they, you know, that they do, because they're young and they don't know how to convey it to you. So, you know, if they have the panic attacks or if they have the outbursts, they just start crying or go quiet. You have to know why it is that they're reacting the way that they do. You know, and what you don't want to have happen is to lose them in their own thoughts and emotions. Mm. So being thrown into the deep end, and where you not have the people around you constantly, where, you know, family leave sooner than what they should, and what we used to, you know, it throws you into the deep end by having an empty home, and almost immediately you and your kids have to create a deeper bond amongst yourselves to just get through those times. Because the truth is that it's quiet, you know, when everybody leaves, it's quiet. It's very quiet.
Analyze. So it's also, you know, this bustling home, your husband's personality, and now it's just this subhanAllah. You know, you're bringing to mind a friend of mine about 2 years ago, subhanAllah. She was young. She was about 22 or 23 years old. And her husband also passed away from COVID related. And it was so crazy because he kept telling people, I'm that sick, and nobody actually, you know, understood it. And she had two kids, and she didn't know she was pregnant at the time. And she found out she was pregnant the day that he passed away, subhanAllah. And it was like, you know, watching that process of those months of her having to be strong for her own body. You know, her body's literally sick, she's falling over, and then her kids need her. The emotional resilience is something that I you know, and I keep thinking when I looked at her and I said, you know, you just remind me of that ayah that Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, Allah is the one who is the protector and he's the close guardian, because at that time it's just Allah who's there, right? And yes, for you, that you must, that must have been something so difficult as well, you know. How did you find that personal strength for the emotional part of it all, you know, especially if you're pregnant? You're pregnant, your emotions are everywhere. So how do you, what was your solace in those moments?
You know, there were a lot of times when I felt like I was actually just living in somebody else's body, mm-hmm. or even role-playing somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. My life never really stopped, like I said, and I actually didn't have time to comprehend what happened. A balance is such a hard thing to achieve when you're juggling so many moving parts, mm-hmm. and the emotions of both yours and that of your kids, because all of that falls on your shoulders. So, you know, work, commitments, family, kids, responsibility, I was pregnant too. They all need to be juggled. And at that time, all of them were glass balls. I couldn't afford to drop any one of them. So as a mother and a woman, you just learn to adapt. You know, you realize what is most important and you focus on that. And for me, it was my kids. And there really isn't anything else that you can do but adapt. So what we realize is that, you know, Allah will never put us through something that we cannot handle. And yeah, it is indeed that with difficulty comes ease. Allah has mercy on those that he tests the way that he does. And you never really understand that when you are going through that test. But when there's a little bit of light, you'll understand the reasons why. And it may not always seem that way, but like your faith and your support system is so vital at that point and that stage. It's actually just all that you rely on.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, you're literally giving me goosebumps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you such faith that inshallah we'll be able to conquer mountains, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Beloved sister, you know, we are coming to the end of the segment, and I just wanted to ask you, you know, you have mentioned that you did something for yourself. You know, I saw that you did the photography for yourself, and it gave you this little bit of a break to take your mind off things. How important do you think it is to, you know, for first of all, for after you've lost a husband or you go through such trauma, for a woman to take time for themselves and to, you know, to give you that feeling of healing and processing?
Look, as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, what we do is we lose ourselves in the identity of our family. We define ourselves by who we're married to. Are we a mother? How many kids do we have? Seriously, when last did you say something like, I'm a creative, a compassionate person, as mm-hmm. opposed to I'm a mom of three kids?
Right.
So what I realized was that society had a certain expectation of a widow and of me. We were supposed to mourn and miss our spouses for the rest of our lives. And yes, we will most certainly do that. But to be cast in that mold was not something that I could accept. If it was Allah's will that Adam was to pass on, then who exactly was like society to dictate to me how I live the rest of my life and try to make it better for my kids? Mm-hmm. So 8 months after losing Adam, I made a conscious decision to change certain things in my life and try to find the true version of myself. Mm-hmm. And again, my mantra was always, you know, kids learn by what they see and not by what you tell them to do. So I submitted my story, and I was selected as one of six women to attend the street photography course over a period of 5 Saturdays. Mm-hmm. It was held by a nonprofit organization called Shoot for Purpose. Mm-hmm. And even though that this meant leaving my children by my sisters on Saturdays, you know, I was determined to do this one mm-hmm. thing for me. I realized that this was my saving grace and the catalyst for my change. I loved every single moment of those Saturdays that I spent with that camera in my hand. And looking through the eyepiece of that camera, it stalls your mind. It allowed me to take a step back and to reflect. It silenced the noise in my head. It forged newfound love and passion for something. And most importantly, it allowed me to accept that I was actually good at something other than being a mother. So it opened my world to these endless possibilities, and the main reason for me was now proudly saying that I'm a mother, sorry, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, you know, a photographer, I'm a journalist, and a tool to just affect change, alhamdulillah. So
alhamdulillah.
So you just, yeah, just find the true version of yourself.
Subhanallah. Sister, I really don't have the words. I really admire, subhanallah, the strength I can hear it through your words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really be there for you and be your solace in every moment. The journey is long ahead. I know you've got young kids, so you've got a lot of, you know, navigating to go through. And may Allah just be with you and guide every decision, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for joining us today. It was really, really lovely having you on air. Please keep us in your du'as for the rest of Ramadan.
And keep us in your du'as. Shukran so much for this opportunity.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beloved listeners, you're listening to Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shakira Hunter. Inshallah, we'll take a short break, and when we get back, we will be speaking to a beautiful sister to take on her take on single parenting after divorce.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, listeners, to Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shakira Hunter. Alhamdulillah, today we are looking at a very beautiful topic and a very difficult one at that, subhanAllah. And that is, you know, raising children via single parenting, in whichever way it might be, subhanAllah. We were just speaking to a sister who lost her husband. And now, inshallah, we are going to be speaking to Aba Farhana Hadrani, who, alhamdulillah, has agreed to come on our show. Alhamdulillah, Aba Farhana is an Islamic educator, motivational speaker, and a human rights activist. And alhamdulillah, she's no stranger to this topic. May Allah subhanAllah accept your sacrifice of joining us this afternoon, Aba Farhana. I know you're busy and we're calling you a little bit early, but please, jazakallah khair for joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No problem. I mean, I'm almost home.
Alhamdulillah. I'm so sorry about that. You know, just the timing in Ramadan goes a little bit off. Alhamdulillah. Aba Farhana, you know, we have looked at parenting after losing a husband, right? And subhanAllah, sometimes when you look at it from the eyes of loss of a loved one and then their parents, society somehow looks at it differently when you look at somebody who loses loses a spouse by a divorce, because either way, it's a massive loss and it is a change, right? So before we go into the interview, do you feel that society treats the loss differently and treats the parenting differently because it happens in a different way?
It may be a different sense of loss, but the trauma is sometimes the same. And sometimes the trauma may be even a little bit more. If you have to, you know, look at the emotional aspect, it's actually not. Let me just correct myself. I actually don't think it's the same. It's two different experiences. With a divorce case, there can be lots of more emotional baggage in terms of, trauma and things like that, and navigating and coming out of that situation for both the adults as well as the children in that situation. So it's different, but same. I don't know if that makes sense. Both are traumatic.
No, it does. It does.
Both require counseling, both require therapy, both require an immense amount of healing thereafter.
And subhanAllah, so let's start at the top, right? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanAllah has blessed you with beautiful children. If you don't mind me asking, how many children do you have, Malima?
Alhamdulillah, I have two, a boy and a girl.
Yeah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Allah make you the coolness of your eyes always, inshallah,
Ameen,
right?
Ameen.
So during your divorce, right, there was obviously now a whole new arrangement. That's where it starts off at, where it was moving from a home that is just, the normal parenting, the mom is there, the dad is there, and suddenly now there's this, where they are shared between two homes. Was this a massive challenge for them, and how do they adapt to this?
So I have to correct you a little bit on that, because, with the divorce cases, not all the situations after that are the same.
Okay.
Sometimes you have co-parents, co-parenting in the situation, and then sometimes you don't have that situation where parents are co-parenting. So what goes on, and I think the most difficult part for my children and for a lot of children is obviously the adjustment from the known to the unknown. And if I have to, compare between the two kids, the one took it a bit better than the other. So the eldest one, the eldest, like my son, he could understand at that moment the contention and the tension that he was in the environment prior to the divorce, whereas the smaller one didn't understand. So when it actually happened, I remember, stopping on the side of the road and, not trying to shield them. I've always maintained a level of communication and open communication with my kids. And I stopped them and I said, look here, this is the reality and this is what it means. I need you guys to be strong. And I remember trying to hold my emotions in check or whatever it is. So the eldest one understood that, while the other one didn't understand. And it was very difficult for her. It was very, very heartbreaking to watch her navigate through that. And the ensuing months after the divorce, she was not coping. I had to get her help. I had to, see her through that and stuff. But alhamdulillah, through open communication and ensuring that, I communicate with her and making sure that she is able to express herself openly, she did well. And now, alhamdulillah, they're quite okay. But there was a notable adjustment from that to the new, to the new, to the new environment and whatever.
So, subhanAllah, obviously, this is something that every home will go through, that adjustment period. But do you find that you yourself had to be extremely strong because of this?
Yeah, sadly. And I think, as parents, what do you do? It's just a sad reality that, when you go through, whether it's the loss of a husband through, through demise, or it's the end of a marriage, somehow you've got to put yourself on a back foot and think, for the betterment of the children. Like, sometimes, unfortunately, we have to, we cannot process things as we would like to process it because the children need us to step up for them. So, yeah, sometimes you honestly think, I know there were moments where I completely shut down and break off and think, these are things that I never dealt with because I had to be strong and I had to be there for my children. But it catches up with you. So it's something that I wouldn't suggest for you know, ladies going through this. I would suggest that, you know, prioritize your time and make time for yourself to process your pain and your healing and whatever it is you're going through. And because if you see to yourself, you are definitely able to show up better for your children instead of always appearing to be a strong, you know, portraying a strong front for your kids. It's not always healthy and it's not always sustainable.
That's so true. And especially sometimes when you try to hold everything together, that's when you crumble the most, right? So,
yeah.
SubhanAllah, Malma, you know, there's something we were speaking about the other day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about the verses of talaq, He attaches this beautiful ayah and He says, لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. You don't know that perhaps maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up something for you and something different. And I've seen that you know, many people go through divorce and Allah gives them such hope and such a beautiful different direction in their life thereafter. Do you feel like, you know, for parents who are out there and who are going through this divorce in this moment and they find it, they are so weighed down by the parenting, do you feel that rainbow comes after a while?
For sure. I mean, look, not only with divorce, I think with any hardship that you go through, with any test, because everyone is going through their own test, right? I think I had this conversation with someone else. Some people will go through divorce, some will lose their husbands, some will lose their homes, unfortunately, some will lose their businesses. People or their children even, you know, whatever it is, everyone is going through their own test. But all Allah wants you to do in that moment is to turn towards Him and ride the wave. Mm-hmm. And I learned and I heard something beautifully, that every moment in life, whether it is a happy moment or whether it is a sad moment, it shall pass. Mm-hmm. And you will come to good times. Allah is not our Rob, is not a Rob of punishment. He is a Rob of mercy. So if He's putting you through something, He's showing you mercy. And surely the way you're going to conduct yourself in that time, that test that He's putting you through, surely there's a reward for it. And you might think at that moment, obviously, because you're in a sense of hopelessness. And I know a lot of people were probably going through, you know, will find themselves in a depressive mode. And it is difficult to tell someone, you know, be strong. But maybe don't be strong, but have hope in Allah's mercy. Mm-hmm. Put your hope that Allah will see you through that, and inshallah there is better things to come. Because everything, you know, we plan, you know, wa makru Allah, we plan, but Allah is the best of planners. And you might not understand the difficulty you're going through, but understand that Allah knows what's best for you and what you need to go through for your betterment.
SubhanAllah, that's so true. Jazakallah khair for sharing that, Abba. I just wanted to ask now, SubhanAllah, you know, in a broader context, maybe not particularly to your situation, but in a broader context, there's been a case where mothers go through this difficulty where, you know, their ex-husband now sometimes is manipulative, or sometimes the father suddenly becomes non-existent into the home. Now, as a mother, you know, your instinct to protect your children, it just dives in and it takes over, and you want to protect them, but at the same time, you want to give the haqq to the husband, right? So from an Islamic perspective, how do you draw that line between saying, you know what, I want the husband, my husband to be part of it, or it could be vice versa. It could be a husband going through the same thing with a woman, but with the wife. But SubhanAllah, just to protect the children emotionally, but at the same time, to give the haqq to the ex-spouse.
This is a bit of a tricky one. And at the same time, why we want to afford haqq of parents. At the end of the day, our haqq as parents and our children are our amana. And if placing our children in harm's way, if giving them access to a specific parent, maybe we're not sure, maybe the environment may not be conducive to them, then we need to act in the best interest of the children. That's my personal take in that. Unless you come to a mutual agreement, you know, with respective parties, third parties involved, that says, you know what, you can have access to the children on conditions and you place those conditions. But personally, on my personal capacity and my personal opinion, is that anything and any decision that has to be made forth going forward from a divorce is in the best interest of the children, because they are young and they depend on us, and that giving them a protection and not putting them in harm's way is part of our responsibilities towards them. So it's not just about our feelings as adults. I need access to my children, and that's it. I don't care about how that's going to affect them or how I'm going to conduct myself around them, as long as I have access, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work like that. The children are a priority mm-hmm. after such situations, and they should be respected.
SubhanAllah. Abba, can you tell us a little bit, if we know, I find it hard to ask this question, and I always find it difficult because it's difficult to generalize it, but we must touch on this as well. Do you think, you know, society's perceptions towards divorced families are different than other families?
Oh, 100%, certainly. You think we're living in this new generation of 2022, and we've moved past this, but sadly, we still have many mentalities and mindsets amongst us that are still carrying the stigma towards divorced women. I know I've heard it, I've experienced it, and I thought I wouldn't, but it's still mm-hmm. there. And I don't know. I don't know if we can ever completely change the narrative, but we can try. Mm-hmm. And but it's definitely there. To answer the question that's relevant, yeah, it's definitely there. We're still facing a stigma towards divorced individuals, be that male, be it female. There's still a stigma.
So what advice can you give to us as a society to start changing this?
You know, if divorce is such a bad thing, it wouldn't have been mm-hmm. institutionalized in our Sharia. That's just mm-hmm. It is not a means of any type of punishment upon anyone. In fact, talaq was given as a solution, as a way mm-hmm. out. If two people are not getting along, Islam is so beautiful. It says that you don't need to be bounded by each other if you are not getting along. There's a way out so that each can navigate through their lives happily. And you know, showing up the best way they can in order to please Allah. And talaq was mm-hmm. institutionalized for that. Yes, it is not the best of halal actions. And yes, it is most displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah will never compel us to a situation, that is displeasing to us. That is not our deen. So going forth, I think society needs to understand that we are living in trying times and our marriages are faced with a lot of issues. And mm-hmm. sadly, divorce has become quite rampant. And I'm not encouraging it and I'm not pro-divorce in any way, mm-hmm. but it is something that is happening. And are we going to walk around with this mindset that, you know, divorced people are bad people or they are failures or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Today it's happening in someone else's home. Allah forbid that same situation can occur in your own home. We don't know what the future may hold. So we need to be, you know, we need to be more open-minded. We need to be more, you know, broaden our perspective. And being divorced does not reflect badly on the individual in any way whatsoever. And we shouldn't be holding such perceptions to such people.
Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah. Abba Farhana, you know, today's program just has me, you know, really making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give strength to all of the women out there, you know, subhanAllah. And you know, recently I've been meeting so many strong women, all of them. And actually in Indonesia, I met a group of ladies and subhanAllah, I just take my hat out to them because, you know, to hold yourself together when you are going through the most difficult time of your life, you know, and to be strong for these children who are in amana, and Allah only knows how difficult it is for each individual. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant strength to our ladies who are going through this out there, to men as well, if they're going through the same thing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us change as a society, because we have to understand that this, you know, once you come to that point of the divorce, it's not something that you've done that is a sin. It is something that you've done because Allah's rahmah to create harmony in people's homes. And may Allah make us a society where we understand that harmony is so important. Mu'allima, jazakallah khair for joining us. I know it's Ramadan and time is valuable. Please keep us in your du'as all the time, inshallah. And may Allah accept your ibadah for the rest of Ramadan.
Ameen. Shaka Abba Shaka for having me once again. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Ameen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beloved listeners, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, you've been on Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shakira Hunter, and we've been looking at single parenting, and we've been looking at it from both the perspectives of a divorced parent as well as a parent, single parenting after the loss of a husband, subhanAllah. So whichever way, wherever you may be, just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with you, and we as a society, we have to make sure that we are creating environments that is assisting our sisters out there, our men even out there, and we are all
always accepting of the fact that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of this is chosen by a person. This comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is incredibly important as a society for us to support our young sisters and to be there for them, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for joining me on Hayatun Tayyibah. Once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah accept all your ibadah, inshallah. And please keep us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.